did walk, he belong. Amen, amen. Good morning to everyone. Good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. How's everyone doing? God is good. We thank him for blessing us to be here this morning. Just good to be here. Thank you that you made it safely in the rain. But we do need the rain, so we thank God for the rain. Amen. Do you love God? I keep falling in love with him over and over. Yes, over and over again. Will I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again? And he gets sweeter and sweeter as the day goes on. Yes, oh, what a love between my God and I keep falling over and over and over and over again. And he keeps blessing over and over. Yes, over and over and over again. Oh, he keeps blessing me over and over and over and over and over again. And he gets sweeter and sweeter as day. Yes, oh, what a love between my God and he keeps blessing me over and over and over and over and over again. Amen, amen. If you are visiting with us this morning, you are truly our honored guest, and we thank you so much for being in our fellowship this morning. Our elders will acknowledge all of our visitors at the end of our worship service. We know that you didn't accidentally come this morning if you brave this rain. If you're watching by way of television, thank you also for tuning in. We hope and pray that we can say something that will minister to you this morning that may touch your heart. If you have a question, if you need to talk to someone, if you want somebody to pray with you, if you call a number on your screen, we would be more than happy to do that with you this morning. This morning's lesson, I want to entitle the lesson this morning, We Fall Down. Some of you may have heard the song by Donnie McClurkin, We Fall Down. I want you to sing it this morning. I know it. It is a touching song. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 16. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 16. The brother read in your hearing. For a righteous man falls seven times and rises again. But the wicked stumble in time of calamity. As most of you, many of you know, the proverb, the word means wise sayings. And Solomon is credited with most of Proverbs through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And this one passage, just this one verse, says a lot to me. I know it does to me. One of the things that I pull out of this immediately is that righteousness does not mean perfection. And that helped me. That really helped me. I don't know. But you can't read this particular passage. You would misunderstand the whole context of the passage. You start with verse 1 and read all the way through it, you'd see, you catch a different meaning. Because this is not my main focus, but it is the focus of the lesson. This passage is actually talking about how evil folk get joy out of watching righteous folk fall. Let me read just a little bit more of it so it'll make sense. Go to verse 15, the verse before that. Do not lie in wait, O wicked man, against the dwelling of the righteous. Do not destroy his resting place. It's like God gives the wicked person a warning. And I know this helps those of us that's trying to live for God, because Because do you not know that there are those who wish that the righteous fall? Who want you to fall, who want us to fall, because somehow it helps them to feel better. Somehow it helps them to get to gloat when they see somebody who proclaims to be a child of God, a Christian, somebody who's trying to do right, fall. And Proverbs writer says, look, don't wait on the wicked. Don't wait, O wicked man, on the dwelling of the righteous. Then drop down to verse number 17. Now notice, verse 16 says, the righteous man falls seven times. And the Bible uses this seven quite often. It says, shall we forgive a man seven times? Or seven times seven? It's a number that's not a number, but it tells us why we're living on this earth. Even when we are trying to do what is right, even when we're trying to do the will of God, church, Christians, get ready, you're going to fall. You're going to fall. You're going to trip and fall. And some of us could show up, testify right now, that it's been more than seven times, Brother Gary. But the difference between the righteous and the wicked is that the righteous will rise again. Amen. Now notice. Now you don't miss this part, because see, somebody this morning, somebody here, I've been in your shoe. Somebody here has been down. Somebody might have just tripped, that's crippled in here this morning. And you are hurting so bad, you are suffering so bad, because you think your life, you failed. I started to title this lesson, The Christian's Response to Failure. Because, see, I mean, just get ready. You're going to fall. You're going to fall. And sometimes the fall, you know, it comes in so many different ways. And Lord have mercy. Oh, but if you don't get up, that's the failure, when you don't get up. Thank the Lord you tripped in here this morning. Amen, somebody. Yeah, the devil wants you to stay at home. The devil wants you to stay in your pity party. The devil don't want you to get up. And let me give you a warning before I move on. Now, verse 17, listen now. To verse 17, to those that are righteous, do not rejoice when your enemy falls. It tells us now, notice this, the wicked going to get theirs. And I know sometimes it's hard for us to see that. And we shouldn't glory when somebody who deserves what they get what they get. Even then, we shouldn't, as Christians, as children of God, should not gloat when somebody gets what they deserve. Boy, now you know we need to watch that. Sometimes we see something happens to somebody, yeah, she deserved it, he deserved it. Be careful. Even when that person is your enemy. He says this, and do not let your heart be glad when he stumbles. That's what God says. You notice this. Don't we serve a good God? Notice, God don't want the righteous to fall. God want the righteous to recover. But God don't even want the evil folk. He don't want people gloating when evil folk fall. God is always reaching and always giving this second chance and this chance even for those who do bad to come back to him. And he knows that. See, sometimes the only time that somebody might make a change if they see you doing what's right and not doing what they would do. Listen to the rest of this passage. Or the Lord will see it, verse 18, and be displeased in the righteous person. If you gloat, he'll see you laughing and getting joy out of somebody getting their punishment. I see sometimes even when, you know, when they have these, you know, somebody's on death row and they their family is there when they are executed. And I know this is tough, and I know I haven't been in their shoes, and I don't know how they feel. But it still aches my heart to see when somebody is executed and they interview that person and they say, well, how do you feel about what just happened? And they say, well, he got just what he deserved. And perhaps he or she did. Perhaps he or she did. But after all, if all of us got what we listen, the Bible says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain. Anybody need some mercy? Yes. And never forget that. He says, and notice it, and turn his anger away from him, the wicked one, and turn it on you. Oh, we want to stay on God's good side. Then he says, do not fret because of evildoers, I know, or be envious of the wicked, for there will be no future for the evil man. The lamp of the wicked will, God going to take care of him. Don't you stay up at night aching and wishing, oh, I need to get this person back. They need to pay. Now, I want to go back to my focus. See, the righteous man falls 7 times. And we need this because in life there are so many hills, but boy, there are just as many valleys. And Colin Powell, he said this in a book and in a quote, there are no secrets to success. It's the result of preparation, hard work, and learning from failure. And it's a simple statement, but there's a lot of truth in that. He said there's no secret. Gandhi put it this way. Gandhi said, my imperfections and failures are as much a blessing from God as my successes and my talents. And then he said, and I lay both of them at his feet. Yeah, can you rejoice right now today? Can you get some joy right now that you've gone through some things that you failed in? That's a good question. And the Bible reveals that most of the great figures of Scripture experienced failure at one time or another. So we're not exempt. It happens. Yet those failures did not keep them from effective service from God. Notice Abraham, Moses, Elijah, David, Peter. The list goes on and on. They had time. Notice, and we're using the word failure. It's when we don't meet our expectation. Sometimes it's when we don't meet other folks' expectation. But it's something that we didn't do, and we know we failed at it. And the scriptures gives us remedies. It gives us hope. It gives us how we're to deal with these failures. And I'm going to give you 3 and I'm going to sit down this morning. Number one is, first of all, when we fall down, we need to acknowledge. Everybody say the word acknowledge. And it's a simple principle, but why is it so hard to do it when we need it the most? Now, and in 3 instances, if our failures, if we fall, is because of sin, we need to acknowledge it. If it's because of sin, we need to admit it. That's how the righteous is able to rise again, because he recognizes I'm at fault and I need to get it right with God so I can get up again. James put it this way in James 4:10. He said, humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and he'll exalt you. He'll lift you up. And some things, that's all needs to happen. See, pride comes before the fall, a bigger fall. And acknowledgement is not easy all the time. And see, now I hope this hurts the right way this morning. I just don't know how else to say it. But see, if you are a daddy and your children are grown now and they can't stand you, they don't want to be around you, they don't respect you, And it's because you didn't spend the time with them when they were young. And whatever the reason, I don't know the reasons, but doesn't the Bible tell the father to provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture? And some folks think that's for the mothers. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Nurturing, you know what nurturing means? It's a planning term. Nurture, that means that you got to spend some time with them. And if you didn't do that, I know, this book, Gary, get out of my business. I don't know who I'm talking to this morning. But if you know that you didn't do that, your children don't like you, and they don't let you, that you didn't do a good job of it, and you know you didn't do a good job of it, and now you try to change the leaf, now you're trying to turn the page and get makes things better, first you need to acknowledge. And there's no way around it if you're going to be pleasing to God. When it comes to failure, see, some people never grow from get over failure because they try to push it aside, ignore it. It didn't happen. It happened. And if you're going to heal, if you're going to restore, you first need to. You can't skip this step. You first need to acknowledge. Yeah, and I know. I when I was kind of writing this lesson out, I said, maybe I shouldn't say that because that's gonna get put somebody on a guilt trip. But you know what? Sometimes guilt is what we need to feel. It need to hit us right where we need to see. See, we need to recognize what failure. See, and we the scriptures just tell us that all of us fall. Everybody falls. But when you ignore, listen. Let me. I'm not trying to. I'm trying to preach the word, and this is a difficult topic. But see, sometimes we run over our failures, and if we don't deal with them, they repeat themselves. You know, I'm married to Sister KB, and I didn't treat her like I needed to treat her. And Sister KB, you know, I go out and I do something, Sister KB, and she leaves me. Listen, and doesn't the Bible say God hates divorce? Isn't that in your Bibles? So when divorce happens, it's really a failure. Oh, Gary, get this, you need to move on. No, I'm going to stay here for just a minute. See, when divorce happens in marriage, it's against God's will, number one. It surely doesn't meet your expectation. You didn't get married to divorce. And see, now sometimes we don't like to talk about it, but when divorce happens, somebody is at fault. And a lot of times we don't want to admit our fault. And if you don't admit your fault, and you're trying to heal, you don't admit your fault. I don't care who you are. If you don't watch out, you'll take those same characteristics into another marriage. But the righteous man falls, but he rises again. And one of the things that we as Christians, when we have failures in our lives, don't hide them. I'm not saying get up here and tell the church everything you've done, but surely confess it to God. Yes, amen. He says this to us, those of us that are Christians. He says that I believe it's in the book of James 5, therefore confess your sins or your faults one to another and pray one for another. There's a reason that's in the Bible. See, now, if the Father wants to, He's trying to heal now. Well, he goes around his grown children, sends them a letter, calls them on the phone. Look, I just want to spend some time with you. And I want to, you need to first acknowledge, Daddy. I acknowledge to God what you didn't do. But, girl, you don't know what I did. I know I don't know. I don't know. Do I have to know? Your kids know. God knows. acknowledge to God what you've done. Put your spirit in the right place with God. Acknowledge to your children. Don't just act like nothing happened. Amen. Yeah. Listen. Sometimes, even when you acknowledge, you still may not get the results that you're looking for. Listen, we're trying to get right back right with God. Sometimes some things take time. Our children, their children might not forgive you. They might say, well, look, I still don't want to have nothing to do with you. Guess what? It's on them then. Because Jesus, when he prayed, he said, Father, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And so we start with God first. And we lean on him for the rest. Yes, and so whatever faults we have, don't be trying to convince everybody else that you're right. Yeah, because we all have some faults. I cannot see. I'm telling you, if Sister KB went out and found another man, and she said, well, Brooke Ed wasn't taken care of, and I tell y'all, see there, she got another man. See that? She wrong. She got another man. Would she be wrong? You're not saying nothing. Say, yes. I know some of you sisters, what you do to her, Brother Gary. Well, you know what? I probably did do something. See, listen, this is so personal because sometimes we tell our stories to everybody like the other person is all wrong. They did me wrong. They just wrong. They cheated. They did me wrong. First of all, if you're going to heal, acknowledge what you did wrong, how you failed. If you don't deal with your failure, it's coming up again. Yeah. And I thank God that we serve a forgiving God. Oh, I do. You know the passage that Brother Foster, he gives on his radio program he'd been giving for years in Psalms 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my, and forget not. Yeah, he said, bless the Lord, my soul, and bless his holy name. Forget not all. Do you know what the verse says right after that verse, verse number 2? He said, right after the verse, he says, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. And do you know who is the human author of this psalm? It's David. Yes, the David that took Bathsheba, Uriah's wife. Yes, the David who was the king and had everything. Yes, the David who sinned, and he says, who forgiveth all. Don't you understand that if you humble yourself before God and confess your faults to God, that God will forgive us like nobody else will? Yeah, the righteous man understands that. Notice, the righteous man is trying to be righteous, but the righteous man is still human. And now if failure is ability related, see, failure can be sin related, and sin, we need to confess our faults, repent of our sins, turn from sin. And every time we sin, we need to confess. Now, when we say confess, every time we sin, we need to change. We need to have a remorseful heart about it, have godly sorrow, repent of those sins, and say, God, I don't want to do it again. And that's one many times we don't do. If failure is ability related, we need to recognize our limitations. See, some failure is because, in 1 Peter 4:10, as each one has received a special gift, employed in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. See, sometimes we fail at things, we fall because we have the wrong expectations. You've seen the program, American Idol, And so if you've seen Showtime at the Apollo, does that still come on television? Sure. Y'all act like y'all just don't watch nothing. You ever seen on American Idol, they have somebody on there. I'm like, how did they make the show? Apollo, you know what? I believe they have them on there. I think they have them on there for ratings so we can laugh at them. But mine is, how did they think that they could sing and got on there? And it's funny, isn't it? It's just, we set ourselves up for failure when we have these unrealistic expectations. Now, I'm not saying, now don't limit yourself. Now, Spud Webb, some of you know, remember Spud Webb, that some of our young kids might not remember, but Spud Webb was short. I bet he was about 5'7", and had a long NBA basketball career. But most 5'7 guys not going to make the NBA. But Spud had incredible talent, and he had incredible drive. Now, I'm not saying put any limitations on yourself, but understand, no, don't set yourself up for failure. And sometimes we let other people set us up for failure because they say, yeah, you sing the national anthem at home in the mirror, in the floor, and you singing that, oh, say, can you sing? And your family said, ooh, girl, you can sing. And they pumping you up, and they should be telling you the truth. Baby, you need to keep on trying. And see, but God gives us gifts. I believe, when parents, we need to nurture our children's gifts, and we need to be honest with our children. Amen? Every young man is not playing in the NFL. Very few are. Not to say to stop them, but you nurture and be honest and try to put them in a position that they can improve in, but don't set them up for failure. Yeah. And so if failure is ability related, then we need to know our limitations. We need to still acknowledge what our abilities are. Now, sometimes failure can be others' reaction. See, when it's that, you still need to acknowledge. You need to acknowledge when sometimes we fail. And the word failure is different from others. It's different for everybody. But sometimes it's the way others react to what we are doing. They just don't understand us. They don't understand what we're trying to do. And it's not that you're a failure. It's just that people don't understand or they're not willing to understand. Let me give you one. As the Apostle Paul, in Acts chapter 13, verse 46, Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly and said, it was necessary that the word of God be spoken to you first, talking about the Jews, since you repudiate it and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life. Behold, we are turning to the Gentiles. See, sometimes we call ourselves a failure because people don't listen to us, because we can't influence people. I was talking to this brother. He's a minister at a church, and he was so broken down, so brokenhearted, because he said that he was trying to motivate the church to do some things, to do some great works. And he said, Gary, he said, I don't care what I try, what I say, what I do. These folk don't want to get up and do nothing. And he was crying to me. And he's a good brother. And I think he's a good preacher. And I reminded him of some of the trials of the apostles. Some of us have been trying to share the gospel with our family members. And we feel, my mother, my dad, I seem like I ought to be able to teach them. And I've had a Bible class with them. And I sit down and tell, well, brother, you've done your part. Sister, you've done what you can do. I'm not saying you've done all that you can do. But there are some things we have to leave with God. That's not in your hands. You're not, and sometimes we need to stop trying to make people do anything anyway. That's not our job. And you are not a failure if you are doing the sharing. Yes, yes. And we fall down. Yeah. A righteous man will just, will either go to somebody else or will just pray for the person. Or sometimes time goes by. Yeah, we fall down. Number two is that we need to, first is to acknowledge. Number two is that we need to learn from our failure. Yeah, we need to learn from our failure. You've heard all of this before. And boy, that's a hard lesson to learn, isn't it? Yeah, it's yeah. You know, when you're going through a trial, when you're going through, anybody in here ever flunked a test before? You only want to raise your hand, do you? Yeah. Listen. I probably told you, you know, so you've heard so many of my stories. Now, I was pretty smart in high school. In elementary, in middle school, in high school, I really can honestly say that I don't think I ever flunked a test. In elementary, middle school, and high school. One, I was terrified. My dad, mama used to tell us that, look, don't bring in this house. Now, I did make I made a P. You remember when they used to have in conduct? I made a P in conduct one time. P was the next phase from a U. But in my house, a P might as well have been a U. And I made a P one time, but my parents corrected that failure. But I flunked my first test when I was a freshman in college, and I was, needless to say, I was devastated. I was devastated. And I'm serious. I was devastated. I almost quit because it had never happened. You see, failure, when you haven't had many failures, and all of a sudden one springs and grabs you, it can throw you. Somebody can relate, can't they? Yes, yeah, it can throw you and sends you. And I see, in this particular case, I was in a math class, and math was my one I kind of ran from, but I had to take this class, and I flunked the very first test in there, and I was in an environment I wasn't used to being in, and I saw what I made on the grade, and I'm in the college class, and I saw my grade, and I was in shock, and I actually literally, when I saw my grade before the class was over, I walked out of class, and I'm like, something wrong with this, and I just, all kind of thoughts went through my mind. I'm like, okay, I'm inferior. I'm in the wrong environment. And I was the only minority in this particular class. And I was troubled. I didn't tell anybody else about it. I didn't tell my roommate. I didn't tell my parent and call nobody. And I was trying to deal with it, but I'm like, man, I can't, what's going on? And I was trying to deal with it myself. Anybody try to deal with something by yourself and you don't have the capability of dealing with it by yourself? I mustered up enough energy to go to the next class. It was 2 days later. And I went to the class and sit in the class. The teacher, and the class hadn't been that long. I hadn't maybe been in there maybe 4 or 5 times, and we had the test, but teacher, of course, she, and the class wasn't all that big, and surely she knew me because I was the only minority in the class. And so when I went into class, I sit down, and she said, okay, class, everybody, and she simply said, she said, nobody really did good on the test. And I'm like, okay, my eyes. Lord, have mercy. Notice this. Church, everybody falls. Everybody falls. How hard? When? Everybody falls. Everybody say, everybody falls.
Everybody falls. Mm.
She said, we're gonna give you another chance. And she went up, and then she told me, caught me before I went out. She said, Gary, you almost had it. She told me that you almost had it. And sometimes our failures, even our failures, oh yes, sometimes it's sin. Sometimes it's our ability, our talent. Sometimes, see, you, that's why you need to admit. You take the SAT test, but you didn't. SAT, ACT, young people, were you taking that test? And you did. You just went in there and took it. Didn't prepare for the test. Didn't do nothing for the test. What you think you gonna do? Yeah. Learn from your failures. Look, what did I do? How did I contribute? What did I say? What did I did not do? Did I admit what you didn't do? You do that just yourself. Do that. You don't have to be around anybody. Don't hide it from yourself. Be honest. Yeah. Oh, I could have treated Sister KB. I am hard. I need to change my. I don't need to, the same tone. I need to do something. She do everything. I would get tired of me too. Yeah, that's me talking to me. You don't need. Sometimes you don't need somebody else to. But if you don't acknowledge, if you don't admit, if you don't say I have something in this, it will. Gotta learn. Listen to Paul. Okay, got 3 minutes. Luke 22:31. Luke 22:31. This is Peter, Simon. Jesus having this conversation with Peter. It's getting close to time for him to go to the cross. Getting close. And he has this intimate conversation with him and the rest of the apostles. He says, behold, Satan demanded permission to sift you like wheat, Peter. He's trying to give Peter a warning, but he's not hearing it, but he's trying to give it to him. But I have prayed for you, Peter. I've prayed. Jesus said, I prayed for you that your faith may not fail. That's what I prayed, Peter, happened, that your faith may not fail. And you, when you have turned again, it's like Peter says to Peter, now, Peter, you're going to fail. It's going to happen. I prayed for you, but you're going to fail. And he reaches into the future. He said, Peter, when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. Notice, Peter didn't even hear what Jesus said. Listen to what he said. But he said to him, Lord, with you, I'm ready to go to prison and to death. It's like Peter said, Lord, I'm not going to fail. You know, when you say to yourself, Christian brothers, sisters, wives, husbands, church leaders, elders, whoever you are, when you say you're not going to fail, you just lie. I don't want to fail. Lord, help me not to fail. And Peter was so arrogant. And then Jesus said to him, Peter, the rooster will crow today until you've denied me 3 times that you know me. Peter, you're going to fail, and it's going to happen today. And I'm not predicting, I'm not prophesying, I'm not making light, I'm not trying to say to glorify in failure. But the scriptures is telling us in our lives, in our human lives, as even those who are children of God, to walk every day in an humble spirit, knowing that anything may happen. See, when you set yourself up this high and you fall, the fall is much harder. And when you fall, it's hard to get up. Yeah. I know the kind of world we live in. Nobody's invincible. The last one is acknowledge, learn from your failure, and act. A-C-T. The devil wanted you to stay at home today. The devil wants you to lay down. The devil wants you to isolate. The devil wants you to be still, to go into deep depression. The devil wants you to get away. The devil wants you to hide. The devil wants you not to do nothing. John 21, 17. This is after Jesus had arisen from the dead, and he goes back and he said to Simon, same Simon, third time, son of John, do you love me? See, this is the difference between the righteous man and the wicked man. See, the righteous man falls seven times, but he rises again. And he rises again even though his heart may be heavy, even though he may feel the failure, even though he may feel the pain, the righteous man loves God. And he's seeking God. God, I love you. I'm sorry. I love you. Peter was grieved. And failure should grieve us. Who's happy that they lose all their children? I know. I didn't want to even go there. But, you know, who's happy when you lose your job, when your relationship is gone? Who's happy? Nobody's. It should grieve us. Because he said to him the third time, do you love me? See, Peter said, well, he must don't believe I love him. And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, Peter, act. Get up. Tend my sheep. And I say to everybody in here, including myself, when we fall, acknowledge. If it's sin, acknowledge it. Acknowledge it to God first. Yeah, and see, sometimes it's something nobody else sees. Acknowledge it to God. If you need to acknowledge it to your wife, acknowledge it to your wife. Don't come down here and apologize to the church for how you treated your wife. Amen? Or how you treated your husband. Acknowledge it to them. If you need to acknowledge it to your children, acknowledge it. If you need to acknowledge it to your boss, to a friend, acknowledge it. If you need to, if your expectations are just out of whack, adjust. Just adjust. Do something else. If your failure is because people don't understand what you're doing, pray for them. Don't hate them. Don't talk about them. Don't try to make them do anything. Don't try to make people understand. Pray for them. That's all you can do sometimes. Learn from your failures. What's in this for me? What could I have done different? What did I contribute to this? And after you've gotten your forgiveness, get up. It's time to. I know that sometimes there's a grieving period. I know sometimes there's a mourning period. Well, Gary, it's not easy. I didn't say it was. But you don't stay where you are. No, get up. Righteous man falls seven times and arises again. And maybe somebody in here now today, it's time to get up. It's time to rise. It's time to do. It's time to go. It's time to act. You here today, you're not a child of God. You need to be. I hope you don't think I'm saying this because I'm a preacher, because I'm the preacher. I love being a Christian. I love. I'm not saying being a Christian is easy. But I love it. I love it that there are other people fighting the way I'm fighting. And I know you in here this morning. And I know you're trying to be a Christian. I love it that I serve a merciful God. That helps me. This morning, before I got up here this morning, I was praying as I was sitting there. I can't tell you what I was praying. before I preach this to somebody else, I don't want to be a castaway. You know what I mean?
Amen.
And so I was praying, and I just, the Lord helped me to say what I needed to say.
Yes,
amen.
Amen.
Yeah, see, sometimes other people don't even understand. And I'm talking about other people, well-meaning Christians, even sometimes we don't understand. You know how we are, something happened, we want to, I wonder what happened, I wonder what she did, I wonder what, yeah, yeah, I know what happened. And we judge and we do all of that, man. Ooh, isn't it good God don't do that? And so if you're here today, you're not a child of God, first of all, you need to be his child. See, because God takes care of his children. And see, this is a lifelong battle. See, some of you right now, you doing good, okay? You don't know what's down the road. You're going to need this. And you need to know that this is a lifelong battle. I'm staying with God. But you need to be in Christ first. You come to Jesus Christ by faith. In Acts 2 verse 37 says, when they heard this, they were pierced to their heart. They said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? And Peter told them, you repent and be baptized, every one of you. That's what he told them. And then in Romans chapter 1, the Bible tells us I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to those that believe, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Repent of your sins. Repent ye therefore your sins. Therefore who shall repent? My head is twisted. Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned, shall be condemned. But we must repent of our sins and to confess Christ with our mouths, with our hearts believe. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father who's in heaven. And you confess your sins and be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins. God adds you to his church, to his body. We're covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And as long as we stay in Christ, we have access to his mercy and access to his grace. You're here today and you need to be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins. Don't do it tomorrow. Do it today. You're here today and you need to get something right in your life, then do it today. If you're here, you need strength from the prayers of the righteous, of the saints, do it today. Won't you come right now as we stand and sing the song of invitation?
Tempted and tried, we're all made to one.